You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
This is a rare treat. Miss Jolene doesn't sing for us very often, but when she does, it's always good, good. Sing your song, Miss Jolene. Mercy Walked In.
Great song. Thank you, Jolene. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, would you lift your hand? We got some Bible people here that'll bring you one. Luke chapter 13. Now, let me say this to you. If you don't have a Bible with you here in Odessa, then you keep that one as our gift to you. That's the rec room's gift to you. Luke's gift to you. We'd like for you to have it. Now, if you have one and you're just borrowing ours for the time we're going to be here, tonight when you leave, if you put it on that back table, that will help us immensely. Don't leave it in the chair. Take it and put it on the back table, and they'll all be there together, and we'll be in good shape. Okay? Luke chapter 13. I'll talk about a subject tonight that we don't talk about much anymore, and that's repentance. Let's start in verse 1, Luke 13:1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Two times Jesus makes this statement. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want to talk to you tonight about repent or perish. One or the other. One choice or the other. Now, let's talk about what is repentance. And let me first deal with what it isn't. It's not being sorry for what you did. It's not being sorry that you got caught doing it. It's not trying to discover the child within you. It's not being sorry for what you've done. It's not turning over a new leaf. Repentance is being sorry for who you are, not what you've done. And we're going to show you this in Scripture as we go through it. It's being sorry for who you are, not for what you've done. There's two types of sorrow that Paul talked about related to repentance. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Now, we're going to turn a lot tonight. So, stay busy with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, Paul said, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. He said there's a godly sorrow, there's a worldly sorrow. Let me give you an example of the godly sorrow. Turn with me now to the book of Luke again. And over here in the book of Luke, we have an incident with Peter, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll start with verse 1. Just to get the whole picture, said it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he, not being Jesus, stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draw. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Simon Peter kind of resented that because here's a carpenter trying to tell a fisherman where to fish. And you can pretty well be assured, those of you that fish, that if they're not biting one place, you will fish the next place. You can pretty well be assured that those people threw their nets on the right side of the boat, left side of the boat, front of the boat, back of the boat, trying to get fish. And he said, we fished all night long and didn't catch a thing. They're professional fishermen. Now this carpenter says to them, if you just throw your nets on the right side. And Peter knows the Lord, and he doesn't want to hurt his feelings. And notice what he said. He said, at thy word, verse 5, I will let down the net. That's not what Jesus said do, did he? What did he say? He said, throw your nets. Every time I read this, I'm thinking, because this is about the way I do most of my obedience to the Lord. Not complete. He said, throw down your nets. I don't know how many they had, but Jesus threw down one. And I want you to notice what happened. Now, if you got a New Age Bible, it will say, it won't say that. It'll say that he threw down his nets. But, and I'm going to show you why it's net. And when they'd done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which are in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they come and fill both ships, so that they begin to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus realized he'd obeyed half-heartedly. And it's costing people. The nets begin to break. Costs money to buy nets. Costs money to fix them. They're losing fish when the nets break. All these problems Simon Peter caused because Jesus said, throw your nets on the right side, and Jesus threw the net. Well, I quit drinking, but I'm not quitting smoking. I'll stop drugs, but I will have a beer every now and then. Man, there's so many illustrations of what we do, and thank God ought to bless us. I've been living for the Lord. A fellow told me this past week out of jail. He said, man, you know, Leland, he said, I was doing good. I was living for the Lord. I said, where are you going to church? That always pauses a conversation. And he said, well, I was reading my Bible at my mama's house. Well, that's commendable. I'm glad he was doing that, but that's not going to church, is it? Some people come up and said, man, I've got a ministry. I'm living for the Lord. Where are you going to church? Well, I don't have a church right now. Let me tell you something. A guy that comes up to me and tells me he can play ball, that he's a great baseball player, the first thing I'm going to ask him is, who's he play for? And what would you think about a guy that said, oh, I don't have a team, but I'm just a great ball player? Well, it's hard to get in the game without a team, isn't it? My. We just throw down the net in our life. But notice, Peter repents of that. And here's what he said, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This is the guy that not very long later preached and 3,000 people got saved. This is that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. This is what he experienced. On the other hand, let me show you right the opposite. Another guy. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Back to the left, a couple of books. Books of Matthew, chapter 7. You might have just heard about this in the last week since we had Easter. Beginning with verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I've sinned that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. That's the worldly sorrow that leadeth to death, Paul spoke about back here. One man said, I'm a sinful man. And the other just got the sorrow of what he'd done and went and hanged himself because he had no solution. One ended up in glory and you'll get to meet him. I hope you don't ever meet the other one. He ended up in hell. Paul taught that repentance. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 20. And in verse 21, Paul was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 26, just a few chapters over, verse 20, he said, when he's talking to King Agrippa, he said, whereupon, verse 19, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Repentance means just turning around and going the other way. Very simple. Doesn't take a Greek theologian. Doesn't take any knowledge of Greek and Hebrew. There's that godly sorrow that worketh repentance, salvation. There's that worldly sorrow that worketh death with Judas and both with Peter. Repentance is about who we are. Now let me show you some of God's people. Turn with the book of Job, way over in the Old Testament, right before the book of Psalms. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. The book right before it. And Job, the book of Job, if you ever think that the world is unfair and that life is the pits and that nobody's going through stuff like you are, do yourself a favor and go read the book of Job. You won't get two chapters. You'll just say, boy, my life is pretty good. Now get this about Job. God said, God's testimony of Job was he's the best man on earth. And it wasn't the devil that started all this. It was God who said to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? He's a good man. And the devil said, yeah, right. He is, because you take care of him. He said, you let me touch his stuff. His things that we're all so proud of. His money. You let me touch that and he'll cuss you to your face, God. I'll show you how strong he is. And God said to Satan, you can do anything but touch his body. Can't do anything to him. And in one day, Job lost all his cattle, all his sheep, all of his donkeys, all of his supplies, most of his houses, and 10 children killed in one day. Now, some of you in this room have lost a child, and it is a bitter experience. 10 of them. I've heard so many people jump on Job's wife, but God never did. And Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? She stood at the grave of those 10 kids too. And then she saw her husband suffer all of this. And God never one time put her down. He just had some pity for her, I think. But you know what Job did when they brought him all that news? The Bible said that he fell down and worshiped God. And here's what he said. Let me go back to Job chapter 1 while we're here. And notice. He said, the Lord had taken. Verse 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. God said to Satan again, what to tell you about my servant Job? Doing pretty good, isn't he? And Satan said, I'll tell you. He said, you let me touch his body, and he'll cuss you to your face. He'll deny you in a minute, because we'll do anything to protect our body. And God said, you can do anything but touch his life. You can't kill it. And the Satan did everything but killing. He put Job broke out with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I don't know if you've ever had a boil or not. I moved down to South Texas, down below Houston, and for some reason I began to get bored. We never did find out what caused them. They just came like they wanted to and left when they wanted to. But while they were there, I'm going to tell you, that's some kind of pain. And you always get them where you really don't want them. Yeah. There's times I couldn't sit down. Man alive, you talk about painful, just painful. But Job had boils everywhere. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes and keeps worshiping God. Now, this man who stood with all of that, God said he's the best man on earth. God said to Satan, look at my servant Job. Now, let's go back to Job chapter 40, where we were. In verse 3, Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. Notice he didn't say, Lord, I realize I'm not perfect. We'll all admit to that, won't we? We surprise people by saying, I know I'm not perfect. Most people thought you were, but you went ahead and was honest about it. Notice what he said. He said, I'm vile. I'm vile. That's like a septic tank. The psalmist said we're altogether filthy. This is Job, the man that God said, and when he got in the presence of God, he said, I am vile. And if that's not enough, turn over to chapter 42 and verses 5 and 6. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. Job didn't take one of those learn to love yourself books. You know what abhor means? It means, hey, I hate myself. I hate myself. And we lie about that. Job wouldn't lie. He said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We say, I hate myself because I'm fat. Now, if you hated yourself, you'd be glad you're fat. You'd want everybody to be fat. Well, I hate myself because I'm ugly. Now, if you really hated yourself, you'd be glad you're ugly. We don't hate ourselves. We love ourselves. We start that out very, very young. If you want to see where that starts, you take 2 2-year-olds, put them in one room with one toy, and see how they share. We love ourselves. You don't have to teach anybody to do that. We got folks that tried to twist the Bible where Jesus said that you love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy might, and love thy neighbors thyself. And it says, see, you need to love yourself. No, he said, you love your neighbors, you already love yourself. He knew everybody loved themselves. But Job, whom God is getting ready to double everything he had, if we read the rest of this chapter, he doubled his sheep. He doubled his cattle. He doubled his donkeys. Remember I told you that he lost 10 kids? Well, God gave him 10 more kids. You say, well, that's not double. Yeah, because he's already got 10 in heaven. That's double. He's going to have 20 in heaven. Hey. I'm vile. I abhor myself. Look at Isaiah, that great prophet of God, one of the greatest Old Testament books. Right in chapter 6. And he sees these seraphims. And one cried to another and said, holy, 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 in verse 3. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, then said I, woe is me. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. Let me tell you something. The closer you get to God, the more dirt you're going to see. It's like that in the mirror. That's why you women have got mirrors with lights on them. I'd never sit in front of a mirror with lights on it. I see what I see, not too pretty anyway, and I don't want to enlarge it. But goodness. But the closer we get to it, the more blemishes, the more dirt we see. closer you get to life, closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be saying, "Lord, look at me, I'm really doing good." You'll be saying, "Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Notice what Paul says in Romans. Paul was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Romans chapter 7, a chapter that most of us spend a lot of time in. 7:18, Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." The quicker we learn what we are, the quicker we'll repent with godly sorrow. And he said, repent and salvation. Just turn around and go the other way. It's not hard to learn. It's just sometimes hard to do, because most of the time we're going the way we want to go. We're doing what we want to do. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's church members. That's drug dealers. That's deacons. That's serial killers. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to repent or is going to perish. That's our choice. Like Peter, we can fall down and say, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." Or like Judas, we can go out and hang ourselves. Or let somebody else do it. Let's bow our heads. We've touched real quickly and real briefly on some things about repentance, which is more than just changing a lifestyle. It's doing what God would have you do. It's turning to Him. And with heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, tonight you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If the Bible's correct, you're lost. If the Bible's correct, you're going to perish. And you'd say, "Leland, pray for me. I don't think there's anybody in here that wants to perish." Now, whether you don't want to bad enough to repent is another question. But you say, "Leland, pray for me that I would not perish." Would you just slip your hand up while nobody's looking around, every eye closed, and every head bowed? God bless you. I see your hand, sir. And yours, I see yours. You can put them up and put them down. Yes, sir, at the back, I see yours. Anyone else, real quickly? Yes, sir, I see yours. Put it back. Yes, sir, I see yours. Anyone else? Anyone else, real quickly? Our Father, you've seen the hands. Now here's what we ask you, Father. We pray your Holy Spirit might stir up that person's heart and make them miserable until they turn to you. Father, we pray that in the next few moments they'd quit letting the devil win in their lives and they'd step out and trust your Son as their Savior. Give them the courage. Give them the strength. We know you want them. You said you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Father, we pray that they do that this very night. As you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, everybody standing on the very first verse of "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me," I want you to come tonight, place your faith in Christ Jesus. Would you come? Come on.
Just as I am.
Come on.
One plea,
Praying, head still bowed, eyes still closed. There's some at the altar. And you'd say, Leland, tonight I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Would you slip up your hand? You said, I asked Jesus to come into my life. I see your hand at the back. God bless you. Anyone at the altar tonight, I asked Jesus to come into my hand. Charles is going to sing one more verse, and we're through. Have you done what God wanted you to do? Which side of the repent or perish are you on? Come on. Precious Heavenly Father, you know the hearts. You know all of our hearts. We pray for those that have trusted you tonight, that they chose to repent. Father, we pray for those that are perishing. You said you love the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we pray they'd not go much longer. Give them another chance. Thank you for the good time we've had tonight. Thank you for the souls that were saved that'll be going to heaven instead of hell. We thank you for that. Bless us through the week. Watch over us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshment bar is open. Check the table for any of our literature. It's all free.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.